7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. I'm your host, Captain Maeve. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and/or 92.3 FM. Also streaming from KYRS.org. And I have my friend with me, Jenny Siebert. Hello, Jenny.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this afternoon?
Well, I've been better.
Oh, really? What's going on?
Well, you know, the whole trans thing.
What, is there something going on, trans stuff?
Oh, yeah. How about that?
Oh, hey, you know
Talk
what?
About scapegoating.
Why don't we do a show about that today?
Yeah,
and I titled this show, When Is It Time to Go? And when I say go, I mean like, get out of the country, leave. My propensity, I guess, would be to stay and fight and make them do, if they're going to do awful things. I was reminded, I think it was the Minneapolis airport, I think, where I got stopped and frisked going through the metal detector wearing a skirt. And it was funny, I walked through them and I have TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
So you really usually just go through the metal detector. And so I stepped through the metal detector, and about 2 seconds after I stepped out of the metal detector, it went beep. I mean, like a 2 second lag. And I went, okay, now wait a minute. It's a bunch of BS. I did not set this metal detector off. And they're like, well, it's just every so often. And I figured they had a new person there and they were doing like trans training. That's what I think is what it was about. And so they were like, do you want a male or a female to pat you down? And I'm like, female. They said, so how do you want us to scan you? Are you male or female? And that's before I had my surgery. So I go, well, I've got male parts right now, but I consider myself a female. And they said, so I said, well, you're going to see female parts. Or you're going to see male parts when you look through the screener thing. And they said, well, we're going to have to pat you down first. Would you like to go into a private room and have this done? And I'm like, no, not at all. I want everybody to see what you're doing to me because of who I am. And that's what I kind of feel like with this. I don't feel like going anywhere. And if I was younger and I had a lot ahead of me, I might feel different, but I want them, if they're going to do awful things to trans people, like labeling us terrorists, which President Trump would like to do and the Heritage Foundation would like to do, if they're going to do that and then proceed to do awful things, I want people to know that. I want people to see that. But that's where I'm coming from.
Wow, so you're my hero right now. I would rather not.
Yeah, I know, and that's why this is going to be a good conversation. And I tell you, I get it. And if I was in a different place in my life, I would totally be with you on that.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes when I introduce myself, I'm Jenny, or you can call me Genevieve. That's my drag name. And they go, oh, do you do drag? And I say, hell no. Oh, can I say that?
You can say hell. Okay. But that's as good as it gets.
I say no because I do not want people looking at me. You know, I really don't like to be the center of attention.
So why do you have a drag name then?
You really should work on that.
To have a drag name?
Yeah, you should get a drag name.
Why? Number one, I'm not pretty enough. Number two, I mean, I appreciate drag performers and I appreciate what they do. And I think it's lovely, but I on some level, I don't think I would ever do drag.
Right. Yeah. Well, you'd have to put boy clothes on to do drag now.
Exactly. And that's what I remember going through talking to my counselor and I said, well, you know, I never was much of a cross dresser. And she said, well, you're cross dressing right now. And I go, what do you mean? Well, you're dressing as a male. I'm like,
Oh yeah.
Right? Okay. All right. I hear you, sister. So,
Yeah, I guess as a student of like ancient history and
maybe we should let people know, what was your job before?
Well, I studied classics at university, though I didn't go into like teaching that or whatever. So I studied the Roman Empire and how the Bible came together, mm-hmm. and we read books of the Bible, and because that's literature from ancient times, right? Yeah. And then you understand the culture in which those books came to be.
Yeah.
And it explains so many things that so many people got so wrong.
But right, also, you and I both have served our country in different capacities.
So after university, I got a job with the U.S. Treasury. First, I was in Southern Idaho, you know, in training.
You were a Treasury agent?
Revenue officer, mm-hmm. yeah. It was like, they took the job that, you know, the guys that took the mobsters in.
Yeah.
In Chicago. What's his name?
Elliot Ness and the Untouchables.
Yes, the Untouchables. So they had like, you know, they were all gun toters and they did everything.
They had Tommy guns.
And then they reorganized. So then we had agents who did assessments and we had officers who would go out and get the stuff. We would take their stuff. So my job was to take their stuff.
So, and that would be at the time would have been like Aryan Nations type folks, right?
Yes, exactly. Right after Randy Weaver, I volunteered to go up to Coeur d'Alene and we had all brands of, and a lot of just anti-government sentiment was so, so common just to begin with. Then we had white separatists like Randy Weaver. We had white supremacists. We had actual Nazis. And they all had in common that the income taxes was, in their estimation, was a multinational Jewish banking conspiracy. And that as free citizens and sovereign citizens, they were not required to pay income taxes, which was the handle that we had on them.
Yeah.
It was the only handle at that point because the U.S. attorney didn't really... I worked criminal cases and they would send them back to me and they're like, oh, we just don't want that now because Idaho juries aren't going to convict these people. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? They say, well, do whatever you can administratively, which meant we would get assessments and we would go take their stuff. We made their lives difficult. That's the best we could do.
But well, that's how they got like Al Capone and stuff, right? I mean, that was sort of, it's always around taxes.
Yeah.
And so you were pretty vested in the United States. So how difficult, I mean, is it a decision? Do you have like, a point that has to be crossed? I mean, like, I think there's a lot of folks that, oh, I didn't like this person who was elected, so I'm just going to leave the country, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but we're talking about a whole different thing. I mean, we're seeing fascism, really, it's not going to come. It is here right now. At what point do you say, I have to leave for you personally?
I think for me, it's close. Well, I have health issues too. Mm-hmm. I have a form of, it's not acute, it's chronic leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go somewhere else, am I going to be able to get the health care? My medicine is super expensive.
Right.
It's keeping me alive. And it's like, so I've been thinking of Portugal because I can retire there.
Yeah.
I can't make money there. It's called a non-lucrative visa. So they want people who are getting an income from outside Portugal to spend money.
Right.
And they're very welcoming. There's a whole expatriate queer community.
Yeah.
And they are very welcoming. However, you have remember, if we all remember, both Portugal and Spain had fascist dictatorships down till the 70s.
Yeah.
So in living memory, they know what that's about.
Yeah.
And we don't put up with the shit that we...
Oh,
can
okay.
I say
Hang on.
That
I have
online?
To hit that. No, I have to hit the button now. Okay.
All right. So we're going to be screwed up for a moment.
Okay. Okay, hopefully we're back on. I just hit the 8-second dump
button. So they
don't
put up with the things that we have been putting up with.
Yeah. I just get my mind. Have to get my mind back in this a little bit. So a lot of people are, you know, I think there's a lot of trans folks who think, well, I'm just going to declare myself a... I'm going to seek asylum because I'm a person that is being persecuted, or you know, I mean, right now, of course, if you were a member of the military, you've been kicked out. There's lots of places you can't use the bathroom now. They want to disappear trans people, and in fact, you know, every speech that Trump makes, pretty much, he throws in an anti-trans thing because that's what the base likes, is to hate trans folks, and so. And lately, he's been talking about labeling us as terrorists simply because we tell the truth about who we are. For me personally, I think it's because this administration does nothing but lie. And I think if you're a liar, you like this administration. And so people who tell the truth are a threat to your power. Truth tellers would be a threat to the Trump administration right now. So I think that's why he hates us so much. But regardless, that doesn't mean that you're going to get any kind of, you know, I couldn't say, well, they're going to label me a terrorist, or they're going to label me a dangerous person because of who I am. I need to have sanctuary in your country. It doesn't work like that, does it?
No, not yet. As far as I'm aware, there's, and you may hear things, you know, on TikTok or whatever. If you do go to Ascension, you know, there's the European Union, basically, they have like a international treaty among all these, you know, states of the, and if you are granted asylum in one, you're granted asylum in all of them. Mm-hmm. But also, if you're not, then you're not. I mean, you can't go like, oh, so Portugal says no, you can't take off and go to Spain or Italy or anywhere else.
Yeah.
No is no.
Right.
So you get basically one shot at it. And you can't later do it. So you have to be certain that they're actually offering asylum. See, the thing is, you go there and you say, I want to claim asylum. And they say, okay. And they will start working your case. That does not mean you've been given asylum, you know, and maybe somebody on TikTok goes, oh yeah, we showed up in Canada or whatever. And look at this, you know, they said, hey, okay, we'll take care of you and we'll start, you know, and you're fine. Well, you're fine for now.
Yeah.
Until they say sorry. And
that's how we work too in the United States too. I mean, people show up.
And as far as trans people go, I think a lot of countries are like, yeah, you know, you got it terrible in Mississippi, you got it terrible in Florida, but you could move to Washington.
Exactly.
You could move to California.
Or you could even within those states move to a city that has some protections.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of them are looking at it that way. And international chaos is there. As you know, we're pretty upset, especially our community, about what's happening in our country.
Yeah.
The rest of the world's pretty upset too, except for maybe, you know, Russia.
Yeah.
Canada doesn't know. They don't know what's going to happen next any more than we do.
Right. Right. Right.
And so they're going to be a little bit iffy on all kinds of decisions. Waiting it out is what everybody is doing, which is kind of what I've been doing, too. It's like, how bad can it get? It could get bad.
So let's say tomorrow, I mean, and I don't know what it would mean if they just arbitrarily said, we're outlawing trans people. We're going to say that if you're trans and you're a terrorist or whatever, just by simply by who you are. Now, I would, a couple of years ago, I would have said, well, that's a ridiculous thing. And of course, no Supreme Court would go for that. But now it's like, it's a whole different thing. The Supreme Court is kind of kowtowed to the Trump administration. And I think they're kind of on board for fascism now too. So I guess, you know, do you feel like we'd still be safe here in Washington State for a while?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. I do, you know, daily mental gymnastics wondering just, you know, the Democratic Party has thrown us under the bus before.
Yeah. Well, we're Gavin such a Newsom small group of people, right? I mean, we're small, you know, it's like an easy sacrificial bunch.
Yeah.
You know, and 0.3% of the population probably.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I think. So that tragic shooting in Minneapolis where that sort of started the ball rolling with the right wing ringer saying, oh, trans people are dangerous. Well, it was sort of like, well, yes, point of mass shooting. It's what was it? 0.11%, 0.1% of mass shooters are trans. 98% are white, cis, heterosexual males. And it's like, but it's funny because it's like, well, that doesn't, yeah. You know, it's too much math for the base to figure out, right? I mean, that yeah. A trans person, that if there's a mass shooting, it's 1,000 times more likely that it's a white man doing it than it is a trans person doing it.
Yeah, but it was the first thing they said.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Charlie Kirk was shot.
Yeah.
The shooter's trans, they said, right out of the White House.
Yes, yeah.
Before they knew a thing.
Yeah, and he wasn't.
About him.
Yeah, he wasn't. And it was interesting, when he got shot, he was answering a question about transgender folks. Yeah. And it was like, do you know the questioner? And if people... Now, what happened to Charlie Kirk was awful. No one deserves to be shot. The person who shot him, in my opinion, is a much worse person than Charlie Kirk, because Charlie Kirk never shot anybody. But if you ever watch him debate, he's really not much of a debater. What he does is college students go up and they ask him a question. And then when he gets frustrated, he calls them names. And of course, everything that he has to say is pretty much anti-Christ, what Jesus would have said how we should live, is sort of the opposite of what Charlie Kirk preached. But all to say that that Charlie Kirk was being challenged by a student saying, well, do you know how many actual trans people have been shooters? And of course, Charlie Kirk, to get laughs, or, you know, because he's not that sharp, he said, too many. That was his answer. And then the kid followed up with, well, do you know how many actual shootings there have been over? And the kid said there was been five trans shooters in the last 10 years. Do you know how many shootings there have been over the last 10 years? And that's when he was leaning back to answer the question, which he wouldn't have answered. Oh, no, wait. He said, are you including gangs or something right. Like that?
Because
he
wanted to, not counting gang violence.
Yeah, counting or not counting. And that was the last words out of his mouth. So he basically got to slur trans people and inner city, I would imagine, black people.
Yeah,
and you know, was his legacy. But so he was very anti-trans, anti-people of color, just on down the line, anti-gun control, you name it. But I think that, yes, they've made a lot of hay out of that. But,
oh, they certainly have.
Yeah. But they're on to the next thing. Another thing, too, is that it's a lot of this is about not releasing the Epstein files, too. I mean, this is just always the distraction. And, of course, we're going to play this up. We're going to fly him back in a coffin on Air Force Two. We're going to do all these things, and it's just going to be a spectacle. and they and the poor guy's memory, and I do, because of my faith, I do have empathy for Charlie Kirk, and I do have empathy for his family, but the way he's been treated by the Republican Party and used in such an awful way, I think it has been pretty shameless. And of course, the thing that got Kimmel in trouble was playing the clip of Trump saying, and Kimmel said, oh, look at how bad, you know, how much Trump is grieving. And then somebody says, hey, sir, how are you holding up? How are you holding up with Charlie Kirk assassination? And Trump's like, oh, I'm doing pretty good. Look at this ballroom I'm building, you know, and it's like he just pivoted. He does not have like normal human compassion, right, for anybody.
Yeah. Definition of a psychopath or a
Totally a psychopath. Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're late. We're going to do our 20 minute after the hour stuff. And then we're going to come back. And I want to talk more, a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of moving to a different country. I want to talk about, again, what would be the go point for you and all that. And so speaking of go point, we'll play a little music while I'm loading up my 20 minute after the hour stuff. And we'll get this done. Stay tuned, everybody.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go? If you say that you are mine, I'll be here till the end of time. So you got to let me know, should I stay or should I go? It's always tease, tease, tease. You're happy when I'm on my knees. One day is fine and next is black. So if you want me off your back, well come on and let me know, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So come on and let me know. This indecision's bugging me.
Indecision, they molest
me. If you don't want me, set me free.
Set me free, careless, keep
me. Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? Should I stay or should I go now?
Out and About comes from Eastern Washington University Running Start, where high school students can earn tuition-free credit before graduating. Applications at ewu.edu/runningstart. Out and About receives support from Boots Bakery and Lounge, specializing in vegan bistro fare and gluten-free baked goods. Located in the Saranac Commons, 19 West Main Street in Spokane. Open 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. through 5 p.m. Sundays. Full menu and information at bootsbakery.com. Support for Out and About comes from the nonprofit Northwest Museum of Arts and Culture in Spokane. Now presenting Preston Singletary, Raven and the Box of Daylight, bringing the Tlingit creation story to life. And Fire, Rebirth and Resilience, exploring our region's major fires from the Great Fire of 1889 to today. More information at northwestmuseum.org.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 22nd through the 25th. Monday, Standard Deviation at Zola and Total Chaos and Proletarier at the Red Room. Monday and Tuesday, Open Jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, the Doghouse Boys at the Osprey, the All-Star Jam with Jerry Lee Raines and Jay Carmichael at Zola, and Sunny Day Real Estate at the Knitting Factory. Wednesday, the Walleye at the Mac, Eli Gardner, Keith Leonard, and Sonny Leite with Kyle Richard at Press, the Heather King Duo at Iron Horse in the Valley, Dallas K at Arborcrest, the Kevin J Band at Barrister, Rusty Jackson at the Valley Eagles, Aki Fumikado and the Dirty Champions at Zola, Open Mic with Derek Hart at the Checkerboard, and the Roommates Jam at the Red Room. Thursday, the Jason Perry Band at Brick West, Sydney Dale at Arborcrest, Just Plain Darren at Bulldogs, Lila Ford and Landon Spencer at the Chameleon, Mormon Mincers and Litch at the Big Dipper, the Dirty Champions at PJ's, and Pancho and Chris Lucas at Zola. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
The National Runaway Safeline is a communication system managed by the Safe Place Network as a resource for runaway and homeless youth, teens in crisis, and their families. It is confidential, anonymous, non-judgmental, and free. The hotline number is 1-800-RUNAWAY. Calls are answered 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Howdy, folks. DJ Spokane Guy here. I host a music show called The Astral Range every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. on this here community radio station, KYRS. For each week's show, I'll take listeners on a curated journey from the homespun folk selections,
building up to a skyline plateau of psychedelic terrain,
then down the mountainside to base camp. Talk infernal lobe levitation, cerebellum sizzle,
medulla modulation,
and other forms of brain bubbling. Tune into The Astral Range, Fridays, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Okay, we are back. Thanks for your patience, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned. I'm, of course, Maeve, and I'm talking with Jenny Siebert, and Jenny and I are talking about when is it time to go when Trump starts labeling us as terrorists? Is that the time? When they start, I don't know, maybe when they start protesting this show. Who knows? I don't know. When is it time to go? But so when... So we were talking a little bit about health stuff, insurance stuff, things like that. So do you have like a set point, or is it just sort of like, this is how I feel today, whether I'm going to move forward on this? Were you going to like move your way self up on this and just be ready to push a button and time to go? Or how does it work?
Well, I recently sold my place in Montana. I'd been back and forth to there for the last, what was it, 25 years now,
yeah,
so far. And, you know, finally I have Montana and Idaho in my rearview mirror, and which was nice. So now I have a little basket of money, and I'm looking at houses here, and I'm like, maybe I should just head to Europe, right? But it takes months. So I'm looking at a non-lucrative visa, which means I would get my Social Security over there. And there's a lot of things you have to be certain of. You can't just like make a guess. So I have to get insurance,
mm-hmm,
for they'll let me in country. I have to do it through the consulate in the United States. I can't go over there and say, you know, on a tourist visa,
right,
and say, hey, you know, I like it so much, I'd like to stay. They'd say, no, you have to go back to the United States. And honestly, if my passport is flagged and I'm over there, I'm not coming back here.
Yeah, they wouldn't let you come back, yeah.
Right? You know, and they've been talking about flagging our passports.
Yeah, I know.
Anybody did a name or gender change on,
yep,
the passport, right?
Yep.
So Anywho, so I'm moving toward the non-lucrative visa, but you could be like a digital nomad, right? If you're making your living online and your source of income is outside of Portugal, has a lower cost of living than like Spain does, but they're also like in recent memory, they had fascist regimes, so they're very safe for us now. And so those are kind of preferred places. So the richer queer folk end up on the Med in Spain, and people like me end up in Portugal and, you know, maybe some little town, you know, south of Lisbon or something. But I hear it's still a great place to be as far as the weather and whatnot and the welcome. Yeah. However, that's not asylum, right? So that's something I can do now. I can get ready. I can get all my ducks in a row. And then you actually, as far as I know, you still have to go to the consulate and they will interview you before they say, yeah, you can, here's your visa to retire in our country. Now, remember, your money has to come from outside of Portugal.
You have to be like basically help. It helps out their economy because you're bringing in money. And so, you know, you were talking before the show, you were telling me about how when you sold your place, how the real estate agent was like, do you really feel like you're unsafe in Montana?
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing that people don't know. If you're not tuned into this, when Jewish people started disappearing off the street in Germany, people didn't really notice. They were like, well, what happened to the Jones down the street? And they're like, oh, I don't know. They must have moved away. A lot of people don't know unless it really affects them. And so if it's a trans thing, and plus it's what news you watch too. And it's, there are ways that people can look. If you're transgender right now, there are all sorts of things that you can look at on the map as far as to know how your state compares to other states. And of course, I'm looking at this map and I'm looking at my notes and I'm having a hard time finding the websites, but there's the HRC website, right? That has the Human Rights Commission does a SCORC. Okay, there it is. HRC.org has a municipality equality index just to even see how your town stacks up. There's a website called translash.org that will take you to different states. And that's kind of interesting because it'll tell you basically like a state score, and it'll walk you through, like, are you allowed to use the bathroom in that state? Are you allowed to, you know, change your name in that state? Things like that. And, you know, how about if you're a trans kid? That seems to be like the first ones they go after are the trans kids. And then after that, there's also a website called lgbtmap.org. And that has all that stuff. Because like you kind of mentioned before, that if you were in the United States, and you were in a state that is going to persecute you, like Texas was one of the first ones that talked about outlawing people, then you could, you know, if that happened, you could say, well, I guess I'll move to Oklahoma, you know, or whatever, which is not a great choice either, but you could, but you could move away from the state that says that we're going to kill you because of who you are. Now, people might be hearing this and saying, oh, this is much, why haven't I heard this on the news? Well, I'd say because the news, if you watch Fox News, number one, you're never going to hear this stuff. If you look at CNN, you probably aren't going to hear it. Same with MSNBC. But it's there. All you have to do is look at that state and those laws and look at other sources and look at what the president says every day, what he wants to do. Just look at what he says. Go to his Truth Social account. See what he says he wants to do. And everybody in his administration complies with what he says. They all, if you haven't got to see any of the great cabinet meetings where they basically spend all time praising him like the dear leader, it's pretty sickening. It's a cult, and it's a cult that's really hard to leave. I was on Facebook the other day, and I was watching kind of an interchange. This reminded me about your Montana realtor. There was a exchange where somebody mentioned that Trump was a criminal, or and this person responded like, "Oh yeah, what laws has he broken?" And somebody replied, and then they said, "What laws he's broken? He's the best president that's ever lived." Blah 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 blah. And then somebody replied, 34 felonies. He was convicted of 34 felonies. Anybody else would have went to prison, but he was convicted of 34 felonies. And then this person didn't comment for a while because I'm sure he was looking it up. And then he came back with like, "Oh, yeah, how many of you have never broken the law out there?" But it's like, so here's where I think the problem is for me, Jenny, that concerns me the most about the way things are in the United States right now, is that that person in the past, 20 years ago, if that person would have found out something, if the only news source that he watched or listened to never told him about that, he would probably be angry at that news source 20 years ago and say, "You know what? That's true. Why didn't anybody tell me this? Why isn't my news source telling me this? I look like a fool. I look like a dishonorable person for doing this. I'm not going to participate in this. I'm going to find out what the real news is and inform myself so I can be a decent human being and have honor." But they've thrown their honor away. They've thrown their honor away. They've thrown their credibility away to stay in this really awful cult, because I'm sure they have community within this cult. And the thing is, eventually this bubble's going to burst, and all the people who are signing on for ICE right now for $50,000 signing bonuses or whatever, they're going to go on trial, and they're going to say, "But you know, I watched Fox News and it never told me that." And that's not going to hold up. Every person is really responsible for informing themselves and acting honorably. You can't just say, "I'm going to find another truth," and think that that's an honorable position to take. It's not.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're hypnotized. I think that television is a cold medium, and they did tests on this, there was an Operation Paperclip, right?
Oh, yeah, I know about Operation
and
Paperclip.
Nazi propagandists, not just rocket scientists, but propagandists got in our country. And, you know, the whole ad campaigns.
Yes.
Mad Men, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Nazis taught us how to advertise. And the whole propaganda engine was, they brought it to bear over here. Just to sell us stuff. And it worked really well. Then they got television. It's like television itself is a hypnotic medium. It shuts your brain down.
Yeah.
And they're raging. You look at Fox News, and my dad was like that. He was demented. He would watch Fox News, and he was just angry, angry, angry all the time. And I got him interested in a car channel where they build hot rods. And then he was happy as a clam. Just getting away from that medium, the hypnotism that was on him.
They want to make you feel desperate and angry and more than likely to be attracted to a strong man figure.
Right.
You know,
only I can fix it. Yeah. Just like Trump actually said, only I can fix it.
No, and he's a failure in every business pursuit he's ever had.
Oh my gosh, right.
He's a failure in everything. You know, a person that 20 years ago, if you had a time machine, you could go back and tell people, "This is going to be, you're going to vote for this person who stole secrets, wouldn't give them back, a guy who caused an insurrection." And go down the line, a guy who bragged about basically sexually assaulting women, a guy who more than likely, the records are going to show that he engaged in sex with underage women. Girls, and just on down the line, all the awful stuff that he's done. And you could tell people, "You're going to vote for that guy." They would say you were crazy.
Yeah.
So something has happened to people. And that's what scares me most about America right now.
Yeah.
The people who are cartoon, they're like cartoon Christy Noem, they're cartoon villains. I mean, they are cartoon villains, and it would not, they're kind of laughable in a way if they weren't so awful, but
and powerful
and powerful. But it's like, it's, yeah, it's the like people who give them power. If people would embrace their honor again and be brave and tell their friends, you're wrong. You should watch this. This is not correct. What you're being fed here, it makes you comfortable, but you are losing your honor and your humanity to this. I think that would be, that's all it would take to disarm these people. And frankly, I don't see a really good way out of this, even winning the midterm elections, which we will, I would imagine, or we'll have to. We'll have to at least try. And but what does it do? They have broken things so badly at this point that it would take like massive international tribunals. You would have to be locking up a lot of people or worse that made this happen. And you would have to take away, if I was running for office, that would be my thing, is we're going to have justice and we're going to have tribunals. And because the rest of the world cannot trust us right now. And once those tribunals are done, or even while they're going on, we're going to fix all the things that they broke. And we're going to take the billionaires' money who broke it to fix the things they broke. And that, to me, if you wanted to run on something as a politician, that would be the one thing to run on, because we're not going to be able to move ahead on anything else until we fix our reputation, until we have justice in the United States again.
Well, yeah, and that, just a minute, as far as the fallacy of the self-made man, or, you know, the billionaire that started from nothing.
Who would that be?
Yeah. Including, you know, like, well, they didn't build the internet. You and I did.
Yeah.
You know, the taxpayers paid for that. The roads that their employees drove on to make them billionaires were paid for by public
fire funds. Protection.
Yeah. All the social goods and services that were paid by all of us were exploited by these billionaires, and they owe it to us to rebuild what they wore out, including, you know, our sense of society, you know. And they have weaponized, knowingly weaponized, you know, these social media to support their takeover of the country. And Trump's just their man. He'll do it, and they'll find somebody else if they need to. You know?
That'll be the interesting thing when he, I think, you know, when you look at him, he's not a healthy guy. I wish he would live another 50 years and that, you know, that there was a trial and there was truth telling, and he, and you know, and that's the thing, like even with someone like Charlie Kirk or like with Trump, it's like you always hold out. For me personally, I love redemption stories. I love people who find the path that say, I'm going to live a better life, and I'm going to tell the truth now, and all that. And I would hold that out. That's the shame about one of the horrible things about the terrible person who killed Charlie Kirk, is that he took away that chance from him. He took away that chance of this young man becoming a better person.
Yeah.
And they took away a father, they took away a husband, all that stuff. That was awful. And I think the same thing about Trump is I wish he would live a long time, and I wish that something would happen. You know, I love the Christmas Carol. I love a Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
I love that. I cry. I mean, the Muppet Christmas Carol, the best. But but I love the story of when people can reflect upon their lives and think about the way to live, and so many great gifts that Charlie Kirk, I would imagine, was a good orator and was a guy that people liked to hang out with. And so that's a real gift that he could have used for good. And same thing with Trump. There's something about him that people liked. And I know a lot of it is that it's not good stuff. It's that he was mean and people like mean people. Some people like that. But I think there's also things that are redeemable about him that I wish that he would have a long life and be able to help people, you know.
Yeah,
because he's in a unique position where he really could. I mean, tomorrow he could say, you know, I've been looking, because remember how he used to talk about Canada having such a great medical system? He would talk about that because he's not the brightest guy. But at the same time, so he's talking, you know, he doesn't like socialism, blah, blah, blah. But, well, that Canada's got a great medical system.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you could do that. You could do that. You could do great things. But I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. But I hold out.
Well, you know, and it's kind of a trope now that the people who decry socialism and how terrible it is, you know, right up there with communism or whatever,
yeah,
they don't even know what socialism is.
No, they have no idea. They have no idea.
Yeah, it's public roads. It's public health. It's water that does not kill you with diarrhea,
yeah,
is socialism.
Well, that's, I think, in a lot of ways, I think that this administration is doing socialism a great service, because I think they preach about the evils of socialism, and it's like Trump, Kennedy, Kristi Noem, you know, all these people that are doing awful things to people, then I think that most people would say, I don't know what socialism is. But if it's the opposite of that, sign me up.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I want that. I don't know what it is, but I want it. If that's, you know, if that's, I think so. They are really doing socialism. Yeah. They are the best commercial probably for socialism ever.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, they talked about natural law, and some of our founders were big on that. And, you know, if you study, you know, the origins of humanity, socialism is our natural social order. We took care of each other during the hard, hard times.
Yeah.
When, you know, there was a time when there were probably only like 6,000 humans left after a huge disaster. And we're all cousins, by the way. All of us are closely related.
Yeah.
Regardless of color of our skin, we're cousins.
Yeah.
And anyway, it was socialism. That, and then there are a few modern countries that reflect that, like Norway. You know, there were, the North Sea oil was a new thing, and they're like, the Brits are like, okay, we're going to give all that money to our billionaires and our, you know, upper crust social class, you know, and our, you know, royals and nobles. That's where all that money went. And the Norwegians are like, well, the people own that.
Yeah.
We're going to take the profits from our North Sea oil. We're going to build our own oil companies, and we're going to fund college for everything. And now it's pretty much heaven on earth in Norway.
Yeah, very happy, right? Place to live.
Because socialism actually works, and capitalism is artificial.
Mm-hmm.
It's not our natural state.
And it's not, it should not be a god, should not be a religion.
Exploiting other human beings and making their suffering a profit center is not our natural state, or else we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
We would not have lived through the difficult times if that's the way humans actually are. And we're not. When things get bad, we pull together, we take care of each other.
Yeah.
And I really hope to see that happen in
this country. Isn't that called empathy?
What's that?
Empathy? Empathy?
Yeah, well, yes, it's called empathy. The thing which Charlie Kirk said was a flaw.
Which, right? Is funny, and it's like, if you could boil down the one thing that Jesus, the one thing that he would want us to do is to have empathy.
No kidding.
That's the one thing. You know, do unto others as you would have them to do. The two great commandments, love God with all your heart and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. That's called empathy. And that's...
But what did the rich young ruler say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to justify himself. You know, the teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, you know, follow the commandments. He said, I've done all that. Could have been Paul, by the way.
Yeah.
And then Jesus says, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, then come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad,
yeah,
because he had great wealth.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's Charlie, if you're listening. That's what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's so.
I want to cry. I'm over here crying.
Well, there's a book called John Fugelsang, has a new book out called Separation of Church and Hate. And John Fugelsang is a comic, and his parents, his dad was a Franciscan brother, and his mom was a nun. They got married, and they had John Fugelsang. And John, he's a comedian, but he has on Sirius XM, and he also has a podcast. And a lot of it does deal with matters of faith. And this is called, the book's called Separation of Church and Hate. And I guess it's like on the New York Times bestseller list right now. And it kind of goes through, like, from what I understand, it sort of talks about how we got to this point where what people are calling Christianity, and it goes unchallenged, by the way, that, you know, somebody will go, well, we do this because of our Christian beliefs. And it's like, well, no one in the news ever says, well, so Jesus said this about trans people, or Jesus said this about gay people? What, can you tell me what that was? And then, because it's not Christian, it's not what Christ would have said. So it is it's a construct, again, to make people feel comfortable in their prejudice. It had nothing to do, you pick and choose things out of the Bible and build a religion that ignores everything that Jesus had to say and call it Christianity. And I think this book challenges that. And it's on Auntie's has been sold out of it, but once it's there, I'm going to go to Auntie's because I have gotten rid of my Amazon Prime membership. So I can't watch Prime and I can't order things from Amazon. And I'm going to get rid of my Paramount Plus thing as soon as Colbert has his last show, that's gone. And I got rid of Hulu. I canceled Hulu and I canceled Disney Plus. It was great, but it was hard to cancel them. There was like no, because of the Jimmy Kimmel thing. And I went online and tried and tried and tried. And finally I called them and they're like, well, can we ask why you're canceling? And I said, well, because I cannot, in good conscience participate and give people money who are supporting fascists. And that's what you're doing. And so, and they said, oh, is this about the Jimmy Kimmel thing? I go, yeah, yes, it is. Gotten like millions of people have taken away their income. And it's a shame. It's a shame that that's what it boils down to, having to deprive people of money that they can't. The first term, it wasn't like that. People stood up to him because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But those people have all gone now. They've all surrendered.
Yeah. Yeah. They capitulated in advance.
Yeah. Surrendering in advance. It's the one thing you don't do to a fascist. Yeah. So.
Yeah. 1 second for maybe a little bit of hope. And I don't want to spin out false hope there. One thing we have different than the Nazis, they had a highly centralized government, and we have a federal government still where we have states.
That's a good point.
With a lot of power if they have the will. And I think there are states where you're safer, you know, if you're trans. One of them is Washington.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe because of our federal structure that we might get through this.
Time
will tell.
We don't know. We haven't even been like not even a full year of this. We've got three more of it. You know, and it's like, so if this has all happened within a year, 3 years from now, I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, it's going to come to a head before then.
I would think so, because there's no, they don't have, even like the Kimmel thing, it would have been really easy just to like, for them to lean on Disney and say, hey, we don't like Jimmy Kimmel because he makes Trump look dumb every night. So maybe it's time for him to go make a phone call. And then they would have said, oh, you know, Jimmy, I don't think we're going to renew you for next year. You know, the ratings aren't that good. Although the big thing people don't realize is that so much, it's not the TV ratings, it's the internet ratings. It's things that get seen on YouTube. He might have a million viewers, but he has 10 million viewers on YouTube. Right. So, you know, they would have been smart, but they don't want to do that. They want to play bully and they want to just be outrageous. And I think they are pushing when they send these troops into cities, they are pushing and do horrible things like that. They're pushing to have violence so they can actually have a police state.
Right.
You know, that's what they want. And so that's why they don't. And so we're going to get there sooner than later, because eventually somebody is going to snap.
Yeah. And the National Guard, they don't want to be there. They don't. They're, you know, they want to be home with their families, most of them.
Yeah, the National Guard, and it's a really an abuse of them. And it's a, if the National Guard were to come into Spokane tomorrow, I would be organizing things like, let's take pizza to the National Guard. Let's bring them water. Let's bring them soft drinks. Let's take care of the National Guard and just welcome them and show them what a great place Spokane is and everything, just to make sure
we're all cousins.
We're all cousins.
We're all brothers and sisters.
You know, and the National Guard, folks in the National Guard, a lot of those guys are there because, you know, they need the money. So, all right. Hey, Jenny, we're out of time.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't really decided anything definitive, but
I'm over here shedding a couple. It's so wonderful being here with you.
Likewise. We'll do this more because we might be doing it from Portugal. Anyways, everybody, thank you for listening to you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and 92.3 FM, and I'll have a pre-recorded show for you next week. But I will see you the week after that. Thanks for tuning in. Go to kyrs.org to check more stuff out. And I will talk with you later. Thanks. Bye.
The following program was pre-recorded.
Democracy Now.
I cannot believe myself for sure. I cannot yet comprehend that this is real and that Allah is with us.
Tears of joy as Egypt releases longtime political prisoner Ala Abdel Fattah as he reunites with his family in Cairo. Other than for a few months, Ala has been in prison since 2013 on various charges, including spreading false news, quote unquote. His family and supporters say he was targeted for his pro-democracy activism. He was a leading voice in the 2011 Arab Spring protests that toppled the Mubarak dictatorship and was repeatedly targeted by the current president, Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. We'll speak with Ala's aunt, the renowned author, Adef Sueff, and with journalist Sharif Abdelkaddous, who knew him well. Then to Chicago, where ICE agents threw a Democratic congressional candidate to the ground.
This past Friday, I was assaulted by ICE alongside some other protesters. That day was probably the most harrowing day of protest I have ever attended in my life. Partly because anything we dealt with didn't hold a candle to what the people trapped inside that facility are enduring.
Then California Governor Gavin Newsom signs the No Secret Police Act into law, banning all law enforcement, including ICE agents, from covering their faces while conducting raids.
I'll be signing a bill, the first in the nation, saying enough. ICE, unmask. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?
We'll speak with the ACLU of Southern California and with New York Congressmember Nydia Velasquez. She's introduced the No Masks for ICE Act into Congress. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip killed at least 38 Palestinians and injured another 190 over the past 24 hours. An estimated 500,000 Palestinians remain in Gaza City, despite an advance by Israeli tanks, paratroopers, explosive-laden robots, and remote-controlled vehicles. Among the latest victims is a 5-year-old Palestinian girl named Noor, whose parents frantically searched the rubble of their Gaza City home Monday after it was flattened by an Israeli strike.
Bring me Noor. In 7 years, I've only had her. I do not have any children except her. Noor is under the rubble. Where is Noor?
Noor was found under the debris, but later died in an ambulance.